It's not pleasant, is it? All right. I was diagnosed with. That's okay. That's all right. I was diagnosed with chronic vertigo when Joey was about 1 year old, and my first attack of vertigo. I was walking. We had this Lasha Opso. Did you ever see Lasha Opso?
Yeah.
Right. It looked like rag mops. One of the dumbest dogs we ever had. But I was walking him. We lived in an apartment back then, and we're on the second floor. So I'm coming up the stairs, and about three quarters up the stairs, it felt like I was falling backwards. So I did what anyone would do, I guess. I fell forward trying to hold on, and for 5 days, everything kept spinning. It was a severe attack of vertigo. That was my first one. I've had many since. And if you've ever experienced vertigo like that, it feels like everything's out of control. Isn't that correct? You have no balance. You get nauseous. It's not a very pleasant feeling. I would suggest to you that, especially in this day and age, where we run from here to there, and our schedules are way too busy, and life happens fast, that many of us experience not only spiritual vertigo, if I can put it that way, but emotional vertigo. Let me give you an example. You don't have to give any details or anything like that, but how many of you here today feel like the world is spinning out of control? Okay? And it feels like that. I don't want to negate this and say you shouldn't feel that way, because sometimes we do. Things happen. excuse me. We feel at times life is spinning out of control. And the question for those of us who are Christ followers is, when we find ourselves experiencing vertigo in life, where it feels like the world's spinning out of control, what do we do? Isn't that a fair question? What do we do? I can tell you what not to do with real vertigo. I found out very quickly that as the room spins, if I try to keep up with it, it makes it worse. Right? But when I started going to therapy for it, some very wise physical therapist gave me information that was valuable, and she said to me this: find something that doesn't move and keep your eyes fixed on that object. And it'll take a little bit, but everything will eventually come back into focus. And I want to suggest to you that that's a good lesson for all of us, that we need to find someone whose name is Jesus, who is constant and is always, and fix our eyes upon him. Here's my fear. My fear is that in reaction to when life happens and we feel like our world is spinning out of proportion, you do what I did initially. You try to keep up with it, and it gets worse. How do you try to keep up with it? Well, it could be by worry, right? Worrying never did anybody any good. That's easier said than done, isn't it? I know that. But you have to follow this through with me. Worry, Jesus says, doesn't add 1 minute of life to anybody. In fact, it probably takes it away. Okay? What else do? We try to escape in ways that are not good. Whether it's through the abuse of drugs, the abuse of alcohol, pornography, whatever the escapes may be, we try to escape that way. We make matters worse. When people are going through hard times and difficult times, one of the first things I say to them is, don't do anything stupid. And I don't mean that pejoratively. Because when we do stuff that violates God's will, we make matters worse, and the world spins even faster, doesn't it? Okay? And I'm going to read you the verses that Paul sets up here in 1 Thessalonians 5 as best as I can. And I'm going to give you some of the dangers in reading this if we're not careful. Here they are. This is it. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's what? Ooh. For you in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, the one who never moves. Where our eyes have to be fixed. I want you to notice, and you wouldn't have the advantage unless you got a, I call it a cheater Bible with footnotes. These statements are written in command language. These are not suggestions. These are command language. For us, it's easy to go to this and say, okay, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Okay. Those are easily read, but I want to suggest to you they are the toughest things to do. And we cannot do them on our own. We can't. It's impossible. This is a work of the Spirit of God who works in us, but if we don't start by having our eyes fixed on Jesus and saying to the Spirit of God, help me rejoice. Even though my world is caving in, help me rejoice. Even though life doesn't make sense, help me rejoice. This is not a plastic thing, and this is not coming in here and I say, hey, how you doing? And you put on that plastic face and say, everything's fine, praise God, and you're dying on the inside. This is not talking about that. We don't read theologians of old anymore. That's unfortunate. When Bill and Melissa did the church history class, I was hoping more of you would come out to see the rich history that theologians have given to us and some of the wisdom that they give us in dealing with this stuff. But theologians would talk about things called spiritual disciplines. Did you ever hear that term? Spiritual disciplines. How many of you go to a gym? How many of you wish you went to a gym? Some of you go to a gym and you know that it takes discipline to keep that up, right? It takes discipline. You know, how many of you have treadmills at home? How many of you use it for a laundry rack? Just because you have a treadmill doesn't mean you're going to use it. Just because you have a gym membership doesn't mean you're going to use it, but it takes discipline, doesn't it? And it's hard. I don't mean to downplay it. It's hard. But we have an advantage with spiritual disciplines because the Holy Spirit stands ready, if we let Him, to help us and empower us to do this. And so the first command here is to rejoice sometimes. This is not talking about circumstances. If you got in your car this morning and you discovered you had a flat tire, that's not a good thing. Or if it didn't start, that's not a good thing. Or if you got up this morning and found out you have a leaky pipe in the house. I mean, circumstances are circumstances. There's always going to be circumstances. There are some people who I believe have the spiritual gift of finding gloom even in the good times. Okay? You know, things could be happening that are good, and yet we have to find something bad. That's why I usually say to you on Sunday mornings, don't turn on the news. All right? That's aggravating enough. You can save that for later. Prepare your heart to come and meet Jesus on Sunday mornings. But whatever's going on, we are called to rejoice always. Okay, well, what does that look like? First of all, we can't manufacture this on our own. This is something that has to come from a deep, settled relationship between us and Jesus. Here's how some of this looks. Let's say you're going through relational problems. Is there any family here that doesn't have relational problems? We all do, correct? If you go through relational problems and some unkind things might be said or something happens it causes you to doubt who you are. And you know, there's even shouting and name calling that happens, huh? What this is saying is, hey, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because in Jesus, you're fully loved. No matter what anybody else says. No matter what anybody else says, you're fully loved. Unconditionally. Really? I didn't fix my hair today, Jesus. You still love me? Or, Jesus, you know, I have no hair to fix, Jesus. You still love me? You know, it's no matter what anybody else says or does, you're still loved by Jesus. You may not feel like it, but that's the truth. And we have to remind ourselves of the truth in the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you know who comes along and wants you to believe a lie? The devil, right? He wants you to believe the lie that you're worthless. And you're not worthless. You are worth so much that Jesus died for you. Now, you weren't worthy of it. That's different. But you're not worthless. All right? Rejoicing comes from a settled relationship of knowing who you are in Jesus. You are fully redeemed by his blood. You are loved. You have new purpose. You have been forgiven, no matter what anybody else says. And so, I watched a couple of weeks ago America's Funniest Videos. You've watched that sometimes. And some of them are funny. Some of them border on the ridiculous, but some of them are funny. And what related to me was a pastor who was doing a wedding. And he had his back, of course, to, you know, the congregants. He's doing the wedding. And he's reading at the vows, and his pants falls. I can relate to this. Okay? His pants falls. And all he did was reach down and pull it up. Now, I guarantee you, it's funny, okay? But I guarantee you people in the congregation are, you know, saying, oh, look at this, you know. It doesn't matter where his pants fall or not, Jesus still loved him, right? No matter what anybody says about him, Jesus still loves him, even with his faults, even with his warts, because you and I have faults and warts too. If there's nothing else that we can rejoice always in, is that Jesus loves us even with our faults and our warts. Period. Nobody here is perfect. Nor will we be this side of heaven. It also means that we need to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Remember I said before, if you're going through vertigo in life, don't do stuff that makes it worse. One of the things that we typically do to make it worse is that when life hits us hard, we pull back from the scriptures and we don't read them. And we don't read them, we don't remember the promises, the great promises God gives to us. And so who's waiting for you? Man, that good old Satan to tell you, you don't believe any of that stuff anymore, do you? Look at you. You call yourself a follower of Christ, look at you. And he'll play games with your head. Don't let him do that. Stay saturated in the Word, even if you don't feel like it. Read the Word of God until you feel like it. Is that a good rule? Read the Word of God until you feel like it. Intentionally allow God to change us from the inside out. The other thing that needs to happen is confession and repentance. Because usually in any situation, there's two sides to every story, isn't there? Okay? We need to be responsible for anything that we have done and confess it specifically before God and repent of it. Man, isn't that great? Because we confess it, we repent of it, and the promise is it's forgiven. It's forgiven. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say you're having some problems with a boss at work. Okay? And you get into a heated argument, and man, you say some things you shouldn't have said. Wouldn't happen to any of you, right? Okay. You say things you shouldn't have said. And you know as soon as they came out of your mouth, it was wrong. Well, you have two choices at that point. You either rationalize and say, you made me do it, which is a lie. All right? It's a lie. Or you say, no, I sinned. And I need to confess it, repent of it. Then I need to apologize. Those are things that help us to rejoice always. We need to understand that the more we're in the Word, the more we're in prayer, the more we embrace repentance and confession, our hearts are fertile. So that when Paul says, as a command, rejoice always, this is true joy rooted in Jesus that transcends circumstances. Did you notice in the gospel when Jesus was on this earth, he never let circumstances get to him? It was never in a hurry, which I think is a big problem for us. He was never in a hurry. He never let circumstances get to him because he knew exactly who he was. He was fully human and fully God. And he chose in all circumstances to obey God. So circumstances were not the issue. The issue was his relationship between him and God. How would you feel if you knew for doing the right thing that people were out to hurt you? How would you feel? Jesus didn't do one thing wrong. Isn't that true? And yet people were out to hurt him. Not only were they out to hurt him, they were out to do what? Kill him. How would you feel? And Jesus, we know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, he cried out in agony, but he went to the Father. And he came away, the scripture says, resolved with joy. Can you imagine that? He knew he was going to the cross. He went with joy because he knew the Father loved him. Rejoice always. It's the result of a love affair between Jesus and us that results in blessings. You'll hear me use the phrase a lot, fall deeper in love with Jesus. Fall deeper in love with Jesus. The only way that we will rejoice always is to fall deeper in love with Jesus. This applies to both our private and public relationship. Rejoice always. Pray continually. That doesn't mean when you get in your car, you close your eyes and you drive and pray. If you do that, I don't want to be anywhere near you. So what's this talking about? Excuse me. It's talking about praying continually as a lifestyle. I went back and forth in doing this, but the clip was really long. I wanted to put up here Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof. Right? How many of you have seen Fiddler on the Roof? There's the part where he's coming back into the village. His wife is waiting to nag him. It's true. So you got to watch the scene. The wife is waiting to nag him and criticize him. He's coming back with a horse and his cart. He was a milkman. And his horse went lame. There's the nagging wife. He couldn't make all his deliveries. He goes into the barn and he starts his conversation with God. Just talking. That's part of what it means to pray continually. Just talking with God. Just talk to him. You don't need special language. Just talk to him. And he starts to say things like, Lord, would have hurt you to give me some riches? Lord, there's no glory in poverty. And yet, Lord, there's something good about being rich. And then he has this dialogue which results in, if I were a rich man, right? But he's having this dialogue with God. And we lose that because we're so busy with everything else. We get so caught up in the vortex of life, spinning around, we forget to talk to God. And you'd be surprised just talking through things with God, how much God is able to talk with us, because sometimes he'll say, keep quiet. Let me talk now. And listen to me. Rejoice always. Pray continually. We have Jesus and the Holy Spirit interceding for us. Do you know that? It's the promise in Romans. That Jesus is interceding for us before the throne of God. And now for me, he stands before the Father's throne and shows his wounded hands and claims me as his own. He's interceding for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't know how to pray. Right? I mentioned Kim Wiedemeyer this morning, losing her husband, Rick. And those of you who have lost husbands or children or parents, you come to prayer sometimes, you don't even know what to pray. Isn't that true? In those times, we have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is going to intercede for us. Because you know why? We may pray for the wrong thing. We may pray for something that's not good for us. And I can picture the Holy Spirit come before God and say, Father, I'm going to pray for Lou because he doesn't know what he's talking about right now. I want to pray for what he needs. And he intercedes for us. Pray continually. It is in prayer we talk to God about the circumstances of life. In rejoicing, we rise above the circumstances. In prayer, now we can talk about the circumstances. Does that make sense? Lord, I'm tired of people. For whatever reason, they're chasing to kill me. You know, they're criticizing me all the time. Lord, I just feel, whatever it is, come to God. Why would you hide anything from God? He knows it already. Why would you hide anything? If you're struggling with something, tell him about it. He cares. If you need an attitude correction, he'd be glad to give you one. Those of us who are parents, how many times have you had to give your children an attitude correction? We are children of God, no matter how old we are. And sometimes we all need attitude corrections from him. Because he's the perfect father. Just talk to God. Listen to him. Listen to his word. Be open to the Holy Spirit. And then we come, give thanks in all circumstances. I want you to notice that this doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. I wasn't ready to give thanks when I was spinning for 5 days. But this is saying, give thanks in that circumstance. You find yourself in whatever circumstance you are. Give thanks. How can I give thanks? Simple. Because you got Jesus. How can I give thanks? It's simple. When I'm saying simple, I don't mean it's easy. But you have to come back to some basic truths. Romans 8:28. Anybody know what Romans 8:28 is? Go ahead, Nancy.
Go
ahead, you're right.
Okay. All things work for good for those who love the Lord and come according to his call.
Okay. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and do his will. That doesn't mean that you're going to understand everything. In fact, you may not understand anything. What that is saying is you keep being obedient in the circumstance. Know what I mean by that? I don't feel like going to church today. You go. I don't feel like reading my Bible. You read. I don't feel like praying. You pray. Again, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because, listen, when people are sick or they have family functions, I know people, you know, there are times people don't come to church. Understand that. But when you're in the middle of a circumstance, this is the time you need to be in church. This is the time you need to be around other believers. This is the time you need to be in the Word. This is the time to fix your eyes on Jesus, because when your world is caving in or spinning, He is the only one who will bring you out of it. I don't know how. I don't know when. Because Romans 8:28 says He can see the beginning and the end. Sometimes I can't see the next step in front of me. Have any of you been there? What do you do when you can't see the next step in front of you? You say, okay, Lord, speak to me. Show me through your word what's the next baby step. Just show me the next baby step. And maybe God will say to you, you need to be with God's people in church. Okay, Lord, I really don't feel like going, but I'll do it by faith because I love you. I'll do it. So you take that baby step. Then you come to church and you find out that God has something for you there. Okay, Lord, show me the next baby step. Okay, try reading some of the Psalms. All right, Lord, you know, you read it and you find out God has something for you there. And you progress that way by baby steps. And you find out that you can give thanks in the midst of a lot of circumstances. Sometimes very hard circumstances. Now, is this optional? No. These are commands that are given by Paul. Again, these are commands that have to be obeyed, not in our power, but the Holy Spirit's power. Why? Here's the reason. For this is God's will for who? Oh, come on. Wake up. Us. This is not optional. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Our thanks needs to grow out of our intimate relationship with Christ and His unchanging character. I get old, Jesus doesn't. Isn't that true? I get old, Jesus doesn't. All right? Sometimes I get grumpy, Jesus doesn't. Sometimes I do bad things, Jesus doesn't. He's the constant. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who loves us unconditionally. He is the one that stands ready to walk with us through any circumstance if we're willing to do His will. There's one other thing here. We need to give thanks not only in good times, but in bad times also. Isn't that true? We give thanks even in the midst of bad times. Why do we give thanks? You guys said it well this morning. I said, give me some boasting about the Lord. You guys said it well. We give Him thanks for all those things. I refer to this offering, and Sharon is probably going to throw the book at me one day. But remember the old hymn, Count Your Blessings? Right? Count your blessings. What's the next line? Named them how?
One by one.
See, when we're in the middle of the vortex of life spinning out of control, and we refuse to count our blessings and name them one by one, we're going to just get sucked up by that vortex. But when we start naming our blessings one by one, we start to say, God, you love me. Lord Jesus, you died for me. And even though I don't know what's going to happen, I know that you are going with me and before me. Blessed be your name. Right? In the good times and in the bad times. Give thanks in all circumstances. You remember Peter? Peter in the boat with the rest of the disciples, a storm came up. Remember that? And in that storm, they were afraid they were going to die. And who does he see walking on the water in the middle of the night? He thought Jesus was a ghost at first, right? But it was Jesus. And in that great interaction, you know, Peter being so impetuous and so spontaneous, he sees Jesus walking on the water, and Peter says, I want to do that too. I want to do that too. And Jesus uses this as a quintessential teaching moment. He says, okay, step out of the boat, Peter. Now, we can criticize Peter all we want, but it took an enormous amount of faith to step out of that boat. Didn't it? Would you have stepped out of the boat? Step out of the boat. Well, Lord, I'm going through this horrible time. Jesus is going to say, step out of the boat. Take that first step of faith. Peter did it, to his credit. Stepped out of the boat. And he was doing fine as long as he was looking at Jesus. But the moment he got distracted by the wind and the waves and took his focus off Jesus, what happened? What happens to us? And Jesus, being gracious, puts his hand out and says, come on, Peter. Come with me. Put your eyes on me, the author and finisher of our faith. So what about us? Do we need to step out of the boat? Take that first baby step? Start doing the right things? Start doing the will of God, even though we're caught in the vortex of life? Because the promise is that as we fix our eyes on Jesus, he'll bring us through. Maybe not the way we want, but certainly the way he wants. Now listen, as we are going to close in a minute, Bill has some special music he wants to share with you, and then we'll close in a song. But I want you to listen to the words of the song that he's going to sing. Either you believe what God is teaching us today or you don't. Isn't that true? If you believe it, put it into practice. If you don't believe it, put it into practice. And you'll find out how much God loves you. Bill, would you come up, please?